Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know how much you know about the church here, but today is the last Sunday of the church year. It's called Christ the King Sunday. And basically, it's a reminder that Jesus Christ is King, that He is Lord, and thus you heard these wonderful scripture lessons we may refer to a little bit later that keep us going. When things aren't going our way, we remember who's on the throne. We just talked about that a couple weeks ago, that no matter what happens around us, He's still on the throne. No one has taken Jesus off the throne.
Amen.
As much as it may feel that way, as much as we may feel that way, and that's what we're going to talk about a lot about today, is when your dream seems to turn into a nightmare. When your dream seems to turn into a nightmare. A lot of people, when they're in love, they come to the pastor and they want to get married. And you can see the look in their eye, and it's very hard to do premarital counseling because all they see is the bliss that every day is going to be a honeymoon and it's going to be perfect. And it's just going to go this way without end. Some people do. I know way back, way back. I remember at Village Inn cuddling up with my honey and this waitress just said, "Oh, just wait. Just wait. You won't be sitting next to each other in a few years." Well, I didn't know if that was prophecy or not, but anyway... Sometimes we have our dreams, right? It can be marriage, it can be in our job, the perfect church, perfect situation. And what happens to our dreams many times? Boom, yeah, and a crash and burn. Seriously. So today we want to talk about how do you keep your hope up when it seems, and that's the key word, seems like your dreams turn into nightmare. First of all, I just thought about this. You need to look at what are our dreams and are they rooted in God and His Word? Because that's the first place to start with a dream, right? Make sure it's centered with God's Word. Was that dream we had the night before just because they had some bad pizza or was it from God? And sometimes that's hard to tell. But there's a piece, and so I think a few other people should talk about this more than me because I don't have that many spiritual dreams, but I would think there's a piece that happens. When you have a dream, but you know it's of God, not just of your own experiences or whatever. But anyway, it has to be rooted in God. You have to know that it's God sending you those dreams. And remember Joseph, we continue our story, Joseph had his dream from God, right? Unfortunately, the way he communicated it to others was a real problem. And Jesus warned about how we take care of things, throwing pearls before swine. And Joseph was not, he was a brat. And he used something God used in a very holy, perfect way and distorted it, said, "Well, look at me. I got a dream, and oh, my mommy and my daddy are going to bow down to me and the rest of my kids and brothers." And we know how the brothers took that, not very well. And I thought about this last week, what is Joseph doing out in the middle of the desert working in a field with a richly ornamented robe, a coat of many colors? It's like going out in the fields with a tuxedo on. Oh. How do I look? Oh, can you do here? You dig that, dig the weeds out. I'll just watch, and you could see why the brothers didn't like that. So, but he still had this dream, and he was favored by God. Joseph was favored by God, and Veronica was talking about this last week. She says, "Well, I don't like him. I don't like Jacob either." Well, sometimes we don't act in very lovable ways, do we? But does God take His favor away from us? No. And by the way, grace means literally undeserved favor. So we talk about amazing grace. It's not amazing accomplishments, church. Amazing us, church. Amazing pastors, church. No. It's amazing grace, church. Because it's His grace that is amazing because Jesus is so amazing. And if a lot of people don't see that at all, right? Even churchy people don't know how amazing Jesus really is. And He is the dream come true. He is the only dream come true, right? We think of a Christmas carol, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Thee tonight. In Jesus Christ, on Christmas Eve, we think of all the hopes and all the fears are met in Jesus. He takes care of our fears and He makes the dreams come true if they're centered in Him. So we talk about not giving up. My daughter's boyfriend is into art. And I was thinking about that because he'll take a blank canvas and have a beautiful piece of artwork. He gave me one of Kenya, of these mountains in Kenya, just beautiful. But I was thinking, when God gives us our lives, when we go through different situations, we have a choice how we're going to paint the picture of ourselves and our situation. We can put whatever we want to on this. It's how we view a life that God has given us, right? We can paint it all black and awful, or we can do something else. Now, there was a restaurant, and I forget where it was, about 2 weeks ago, they had a black heart, a real large black heart. It was like this, and there were streams of different colors coming down to this black heart, trying to change the color. And this is at a regular restaurant. I thought, wonder if there's some significance behind that, because I know as a Christian it certainly would be, because our hearts are full of sin, right? And Jesus comes with many colors. He has the coat of many colors, the robe of righteousness, that comes over our blackened heart and changes it through baptism, through washing, regeneration, through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' blood. The blood of Jesus Christ comes and He cleanses us from all sin and changes that heart. Well, anyway, Joseph had a choice. How was he going to view his life, and was he still going to believe in God? And that's the key. All through the Bible, God wants to know, will I find faith? Will I find faith in my people? Because He's willing to risk, as He is, the love of not having robots. He's also willing to risk people losing faith and hope because allowing them to go through difficult circumstances and adversities. Will people trust in me no matter what? That's the question about Job and the question for us. He loves faith so much that He's willing to risk a relationship because just that things go well. He wants to see, well, my people really trust me. And it drove Jesus nuts when there would be people who were afflicted by demons and they run to the disciples and the disciples go, oh, Jesus, we couldn't do it. This guy asked for help and we couldn't do. And Jesus shook His head. He was so frustrated with the disciples. He says, how long have I to put up with this faithless generation? Bring the boy to me. Come on, bring it here. Boom, gone. Demon gone. Jesus, in the name of the Father, be gone. Satan was gone, like just like that. My disciples were going, they were going to their seminary professor going, Jesus, teacher, what was the difference here? How come you could do it and we couldn't? And He says, faith. You didn't have enough faith. You little faith. But so God really treasures faith and hope so much. And when He sees it, when things look really bad, God smiles. But many people give up faith and hope. Hope is a little different. Hope is the idea that something good is going to happen out of this, right? And when we lose hope, that's not good. Well, anyway, Joseph, let's go back to the story, because Joseph, you know, he's had a rough life, right? He was thrown in the pit, and while they're having lunch, like when you said that last week, Pastor Rick, that when they're eating lunch, the boys are having their lunch. Here's little brother down there starving to death. He's going, hey, anybody remember me? His brother's purposely forgetting about him. And it would have been very tempting for Joseph to think God had forgotten him. But did God forget Joseph? We see the rest of the story, right? Just like we see the rest of the story all the way through Revelation, we see who wins. And we're on the winning side if we stay with Jesus Christ. So we're on the winning team. We don't know who's going to win today. Okay, he's confident that he's got the winning team. Maybe, the way the Cardinals are playing, who knows? But anyway, we know we're on the winning side, right? Thanks be to God. So anyway, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was with one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph. Now, it doesn't look like it, right? But the Lord was with Joseph, the Bible says, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and saw that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him into charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. What's neat about this is not only do we enjoy the favor of God upon us, but others do too. The favor of God is not something we earn, it's undeserved, but when God puts His hands on people, because of His grace and just because He wants to, things happen. They don't say, oh, what a nice religious person or a churchy person, or we notice that you do all the rituals and all that. They see there's something in that person's life that's out of the Spirit and it's refreshing, and things happen around them. They're like catalysts that bring change. It's like when I noticed there was a football team, forget all the games I saw over the weekend, that there was a coach that you could tell there's a whole atmosphere change in the team. And I watched it because I hadn't watched them for a long time. I go, my goodness, this coach has made a difference. But there's an attitude of we can win. And he's instilled confidence in the team and the players. Even when they had a horrible record, he told them to believe that they could do it. And they started winning because they just believed, didn't know any better. And then they started acting on that confidence. Well, in the same way, when God comes into our life, when the favor of God's on us, things happen, right? As we trust in Him. And you can see His hand is over here, and His hand is over there. And we see Him engineering. We talk about that all the time, right, Pastor Rick? Like, He brought people together, situations together, the right place, the right time. And it's so much fun to see that. And then others who aren't even believers start catching a little bit of it, too, because when God's hand's on you, the anointing and the glory of the Lord shines around you. So where you go, the glory goes. God's glory goes. And I was reading about that. The one a very anointed pastor, very humble, he went into this guy's car. They picked him up at the airport. He was from a real neat church in Korea. And this pastor just felt God's presence in his car, filling the car with the presence of God. It was because this pastor had this such anointing, and he was very humble about it. He just loved God, and he lived in the presence of God every day, that this other pastor just was blessed just by being around this guy. God wants you to be such a positive influence of people that you don't even have to speak, that people know that God's inside you. Because Joseph, it says God was with him. Now God is with everybody, yes, right? But there's a special presence when two or three are gathered in my name, when a person consecrated to dedicate their life to God, to Christ, and they really want to live in the Spirit and they surrender to Him. And you can just say, when they want God, when they're chasing and they're hungry after God, who's still hungry for turkey? Still hungry for turkey? You are there? Okay, a few people are. Most people have lost that hunger for turkey by now, all right? Oh, more turkey. And most people have lost their hunger for God by now. As our world's gone, you think about how many people lost their appetite for God. The church, Sunday after Thanksgiving, 8 o'clock in the morning, one of my neighbors said, you've got to be kidding me. You know, but we'll be there till about 2:30 in the afternoon, so if you want to come by anytime, come on down. But we lose our appetite. Joseph didn't lose his appetite for God, and God was with him, and the whole household, Potiphar's household was blessed. Potiphar's business, the empire, the whole country was blessed because of Joseph. Think about it. And Egypt then was a much, much larger country, more like the United States of America today. Well, a few years ago, maybe, 10 years ago. It was the country. Things were going well. The economy was going well. Everything was going well. All because God brought Joseph into a strange land and put His hand on him, and everybody had to notice that God's favor was upon him, no matter what they did to him, right? What's the application for us? Obviously, go with God's anointing, with His presence. Trust in Him. Don't give up hope, and He will make our paths straight. He will direct our lives, and people will notice. They will notice a difference, right? That's real. That's the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And it doesn't always tabulate in more members of our church or more money for you, but God's keeping score. He is keeping score, and He knows exactly what we're going through. And I'm preaching to myself as I say that. He knows exactly what we're going through. And we thank Him so much for that on this Thanksgiving weekend. We're thankful to the King on this Christ the King Sunday for what He's going to do with the season of Advent coming, how He's going to come into our lives more and more. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's just so neat to see how God's blessing him. And then now this Potiphar trusts Joseph so much with his management skills and the anointing. When you have business skills and management skills, and education with the anointing come together, wow, that's awesome. And that's what was with Joseph. So Potiphar sees this. He trusts Joseph so much, he says, you got it all. You're in charge of everything. I don't have to worry. I'm not going to Don't you hate when you have a boss that's always looking over your shoulder and checking over, did you do this, did you do that? Yes, I did it. Yes, and I'm insulted to have a different boss now. It's always, at least up until about 3 months ago, always had to check everything I did. Now she doesn't check any of it because she says, well, I guess I can trust him. People trust us, and we don't want to break that trust. We want to be, as Christian workers, we want to work in such a way that we give glory to God and we help our employers. Martin Luther talks about, you know, help our employers and those in authority above us, respect them, and to work as though to the Lord, because that's who we're really working for, right? Amen. Well, anyway, Joseph, it's going great for Joseph. And he always knows something's going to happen. Do things always go perfect in this life? No. Now the dream of Joseph, his visions, his dreams from way back as a child, now are coming true, right? He's getting more and more authority. God's blessing him. And now Potiphar's wife comes to the picture, like a soap opera. Oh my goodness. And it's striking how direct the Bible is about this. We don't know if this is Potiphar's first wife. We don't know how old she was, if she was a bored housewife, what it was, or how old she was. We don't know any of that, but we know that she took note of Joseph, and it says that Joseph was well-built and handsome, and this lady got lust, and she kept seducing Joseph. Not just once, but more than once. It says, now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Now there's a good scripture for us against temptation and evil. How could I do this wickedness and sin against God? And so he says that. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. The Bible talks about fleeing temptation. Don't try to just say, well, it's like somebody with a food addiction just walking around the bakery to smell the donuts and the pastries while they're baking. That's not going to work, right? We have to remove ourselves from the temptation and not test ourselves. And so Joseph ran, or he refused to be with her. And then one day, he went to the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his coat and said, come to bed with me. But he left his coat in her hand, and ran out of the house. So he literally ran from temptation. When she saw that he had left his coat in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said, this Hebrew has brought to us to make sport of us. He has come in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his coat beside me and ran out of the house. So she tells a different story. Does everybody tell the truth? No, unfortunately not, right? All these deals. Oh, I went Black Friday, first time ever I went shopping on Black Friday. Got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I hate shopping. I hate shopping so much. I mean, so for me, I go, what am I doing here? This is crazy. It was a little part out of curiosity. I wanted to get something. And it wasn't too bad. But I thought, these people look so wide awake, I thought, this is really weird. You must really like shopping to do this or getting deals. It's like sports fans sitting in driving rain or a snowy blizzard to watch a game. But if it's bad weather and it's church and we're inside, oh no, we can't do that. But anyway, it just shows where your heart is. And these people look so happy and bright-eyed at 4 o'clock in the morning. I thought, this is crazy. And then the happy times went away when the clerk told them, oh, we don't, basically they had maybe 2 TVs for the great price of $80. Yeah. So everybody's coming for that big special. Well, guess what? Are there enough TVs for everybody? No. So you think they're happy when they found out they had to pay the original price? No. And then that happiness went away real quick, and their dreams became nightmares, and it was not pretty. I wanted out of there. But anyway, the world is so weird. It changes things, and they'll turn on us. Right? People turn on us. And what's really sad is when it's your own family. That's the worst, the betrayal, right? But anyway, this lady turns on Joseph and starts blaming him for attempted rape, sexual harassment, gets him in big trouble. His master has lost faith in him, becomes enraged with him, But he could have killed Joseph, so maybe he didn't totally believe his wife. Maybe this had happened before. We don't know. This power trip this woman had, and she's on a power trip and everything else. So Potiphar puts Joseph in prison. What happened to Joseph's dream? He could have very easily thought, my dream's gone, now I'm living a nightmare, I'm in prison. I'm back in the pit again. What am I doing here? I thought everything was going up. Does life go like this? No. Unfortunately, not yet. And so, we have to keep remembering ourselves, keep the faith and keep the hope. Keep the faith and keep the hope. Keep the faith and keep the hope in Jesus Christ. Because He's still on the throne on this Christ the King Sunday, right? Keep the faith, keep the hope. Keep the faith, keep the hope. Because if we don't talk to ourselves like that, eventually Satan's going to tear away our faith and our hope. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you want to turn to it, I've got the red Bible, so I don't know if the same page number. It's 377 on this. But 2 Kings chapter 4. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table and a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us. One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we do for you? Can we speak out on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? She replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elisha asked. Gehazi said, well, she has no son and her husband is old. Then Elisha said, call her. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. Now get this. No, my lord, she objected. Don't mislead your servant, O man of God. She was afraid to hope again. See that? She heard this great news from Elisha the prophet, and she was afraid to believe it because it seemed too good to be true. She didn't want her heart to be broken again. So it was almost better for her not to hear this word of promise because she was so afraid to trust again, to tell her heart to open up again. And we all have situations, at least a lot of us, whether it be marriage or jobs or stepping out, that we've stepped out in the past and got burnt. And so it's so easy to stay over in the corner and not hope again. But God doesn't want us there. He says you can hope again. You can tell your heart to beat again. You can go step out again, and I will be with you. But she's afraid to do that. But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. My head, he said to his servant. Oh, no. Now the dream's turning into a nightmare. Wake up, Austin. His father told the servant, carry him to his mother. After the servant had lifted him up and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. You got this prophet promising a child. Don't give me that hope, prophet. The child is born, and now the child dies. Wow. You can imagine what this mom said. Thanks a lot, Elisha. Thanks for nothing, you know. But the story doesn't stop there. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called her husband and said, please send me one of my servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God quickly and return. And then so she went, and when he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, look, there's a Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and ask, are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right? Everything is all right, she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away. Real helpful there, guy there, right? Get lost, woman. Boy, sometimes we mean well in the church, and sometimes the church turns people and casts people off away from Jesus. You know how sad that is. He says, leave her alone. But the man of God said, leave her alone. She's in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me, has not told me why. Even prophets sometimes don't get the whole picture. You know, sometimes we have, what's going on here, God? Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? Didn't I tell you, don't raise my hopes? Elisha said to Gehazi, tuck your cloak into your belt, take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, do not greet them, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face. But the child's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So he got up and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, the boy has not awakened. So even now, what the prophet said to do, the servant tries it, it doesn't seem to work. The dream's getting more nightmarish. When Elisha reached the house, there was the boy lying dead on his couch. He went in, shut the door on the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and lay upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room. Sounds like our prayer meetings on Monday nights, Pastor Rick. And then got on the bed and stretched out on him. Once more, the power of God, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Wow. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. And he did. When she came, he said, take your son. She came in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she took her son and went out. And then she lived with that hope and that faith. She could have said, you know what? I'm not in for this, all this stuff, Elisha. But she poured out her complaints. But God came through, right? And God came through with Joseph as well. So he's there. And the woman, you know, attempted to try to get him killed, basically. And he's in prison. Is that the end of the story? Nope. Because it says God was still with him. Where are we here? But while Joseph was there in the prison, verse 21, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So now, once again, the anointing is on Joseph so much that now he's in prison and people take note of this Joseph. There's something different about Joe. He's not sitting in having a pity party in prison. He's making use of his time in prison, as many of our members who are inmates have done. They've made good use of that time, and people notice there's somebody in that person and not in me, and it's Jesus Christ. And so they made the most of every opportunity. And the same with us, whether in jail or not, to make the most of every opportunity, whatever situation we're going through, trust God. Trust God. Have faith. Have hope. Keep the faith. Keep the hope in Jesus the King. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Same thing in prison as in the palace. Whether it be the word in the palace or the pit or the prison, it's the same God with us. And he still has a plan. I know that we can go follow, just kind of like, oh, whatever, Pastor. This is more than preacher talk. The question is, are we going to step out in faith? Jesus called Peter out. He calls us to step out. The question is, will we step out in faith? Will we step out in hope? Because the King is still on the throne. Those wonderful scriptures for Christ the King Sunday remind us that there's a lot going on in the spiritual world right now in heaven. Thousands and thousands of angels are shouting praise to Jesus. He's on the throne in all power, and His glory is just immense. The Father's there. The Holy Spirit's with us. We're connected with that church in heaven. Believe me, it's not boring up there. And we want what's going on in heaven that happened down here for the sake of the kingdom. And so we pray, Thy kingdom come. And we trust that this kingdom will become more and more evident despite what we see around us. And so we trust in Jesus, our King. Amen.